If you would like to go ahead and turn in your Bibles, I'm going to read some scripture today from Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse 33. But before I begin to read, I want to give somewhat of a brief summary of what we have account of here in this fifth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. The high priest, along with the Sadducees, had taken the apostles and had put them into the common prison. But the angel of the Lord had come and opened the prison doors and set them free. And they, not knowing this, they went back and these men were not there. And so they found out that they had gone out and just kept preaching the gospel to the people. They went to the temple, and so they brought these men before them again, and they said, "Did we not command you that you are not to teach anymore in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you've gone out and filled Jerusalem with your doctrine?" And the Apostle Peter said, "Well, but we ought to obey God rather than men." And then they told them that the God of their fathers had raised up the Lord Jesus Christ, and they said, "You've taken him, and you've slain him and crucified him." And this angered those Sadducees and angered the high priest, and that brings us to the place where I want to begin to read today. But I want to ask you a question before I begin to read, and it doesn't matter. If you want to raise your hand and answer, you can, or you can just ponder this in your heart. But I want you to really think about this. Have you ever fought against God on something? I mean, has God ever asked something of you and you fought him? I'm going to go ahead and raise my hand because I hate to admit it, but I have. I have fought against the Lord. But I bet there wouldn't be a single hand go up if I were to say, "Well, have you ever won? Have you ever fought God and won?" I remember, I'm sure you've got an explanation for that. Yeah, but God won too. I remember my youngest son, and he's always kind of had a very simple way of stating things. And I remember he called me a few years back. I was driving across the highway in Indianapolis, and he called me, this is what he told me. He said, "Dad," he said, "the Lord has asked something, has told me to do something, and I've been fighting him, and I don't seem to be winning." And that's just the way he told me. And I said, "Well, son, you're not going to win." And so let's look at Acts chapter 5, verse 33. Remember, I said that these men had become angry, that they had been told that they had slew and hanged Jesus on a tree. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And so I want to use this these words today for my title of the message this morning. That is, you're fighting a losing battle. And I wonder if, I suppose that probably most all of you have heard that terminology used when someone is trying to overcome something and just doesn't seem to be getting anywhere. Maybe when they're trying to use their hands and fix something, and every time they get something fixed, something else breaks. And I mean, we hear that term, well, I'm fighting a losing battle. Well, I want to say before you today that if you're fighting against God on whatever that it is, that you're absolutely fighting a losing battle. Brother Wheat in Sunday school this morning, he's already used some of my scriptures, but that's okay. I'll probably say them again if the Lord is willing. But there were some great truths spoken during our Sunday school lesson. Now, I've got something in common with Brother Wright, and from what I've been told through the years, I've got something in common with many of my preacher brothers, because I did the same thing that Brother Wright did. When the Lord called me to preach, I fought against it. Not for very long, but I did fight against it. And I think that shows us, I mean, no doubt that shows us the extent of folly that a man will go to. I mean, we ought to know, and I think that we do know, that we can't fight God and win. I mean, we can't do it, and I believe and am convinced that deep down inside of ourselves, we know that. We are well aware of that, but yet we still do it. And so I fought against the Lord when He called me to preach, and God dealt with me in a way and put me through some things that I would have never had to go through. You know, sometimes we tell these give these accounts of things, and we almost maybe think they're a little bit humorous, or even have a little bit of romantic, you know, twist to them. Wow, man, that guy really, you know, he was really in bad shape when he surrendered to the call to preach, and maybe almost get intriguing thoughts. But you know what the truth really is? I mean, honestly, when God called me to preach, I should have just said, all right. I should have just obeyed. I should have just done it. I should have just said, yes, Lord, if that's what you want, that's what I'll do. But for some reason, I guess because of this nature of Adam that we have, that would be ideal, but that's not the reality, is it? We seem to have a tendency to fight against God. And sometimes it's in things that we believe we have a tendency, I think, also to categorize things within ourselves and justify things within ourselves and perhaps say, well, Lord, I mean, I know I've heard of men that God has called to preach and they fought the call to preach, but I understand that, you know, all you're asking of me is to testify in church today or sing a song in church today. And sometimes we downplay things. But, you know, if God in a worship service, if the Spirit of God moves upon your heart and tells you to testify before the people of His goodness or something perhaps that He's done for you, you know that that's very important to God. It is. It's very important to Him and it's very important to what's going on at the moment because the Spirit of God doesn't instigate anything without having a reason for doing it. If God moves upon your heart today to tell your experience of salvation, you can be sure that He wants somebody to hear it. He has a reason for doing it. And so we fight against God oftentimes in what we consider to be little things. You know, well, it was just a little thing. You know, I've got in trouble. I have got myself in trouble with God before for not doing what I thought was a little thing. How about you? Have you ever had something like that that you just said, well, I'm not going to do that today. The service will be okay without me doing that. I'm just going to take it home with me and forget about it. And somewhere in the course of that day, you know that God is not happy with you for what you've done. God had a way when I got saved. God had a way of speaking to my soul and letting me know that I was saved that was unmistakable to me. He did. He had a way of letting me know that I had been saved and I knew what it was that had happened and what it was that He was assuring me of. And God has had a way of letting me know in my life if He is not pleased with what I've done or what I'm doing. He has had a way of making it known to me. I want you to think about what this man said here in these verses that I read. When they were going to harass these men again, he stepped up and he basically said, you know what, you better leave this alone. You better just leave it alone. Refrain from these men and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. And you know, that's exactly what I believe today. I believe he spoke a great truth. I believe and am convinced that the things that are of men are going to come to naught. They're going to disappear one of these days. If it's of men, if it's nothing more than of men, it'll die with men. It'll be gone. It won't have any everlasting, eternal value to it whatsoever. It will come to nothing if it's of men. But he went on and he said, if it is of God, if this is of God, if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. You can't do it. I think of the verse there in Romans, and of course there's a lot of different ways, I believe, to look at this subject. We can look at it from one side or the other side. There's a lot of this that is alarming to me, but there's also things in this that are very comforting to me. If something is of God, then it can't be overthrown. Gives me great assurance in scriptures like I read there from Romans 8, I believe it is, where the question is asked, if God be for us, who can be against us? And you know, the Lord throughout the years has absolutely been with and for His church. And because of that, the Lord's church has endured so many things because there hasn't been anybody that has been able to stand against God and overthrow the things of God. That's why that Jesus was able to promise in the very time that He gave the commission to His church, He was able right then to give her the promise that He would be with her always, even unto the end of the world, because He knew from that very point that His church would always remain in the world. He knew she would always be here. You cannot overthrow the things of God. There were, the devil has tried so many ways throughout the years. He has tried to destroy the Lord's church in so many ways throughout the years. He has tried it through persecution. He has tried it through infiltration. He has tried through imitation. He has tried in so many deceitful ways throughout the years to destroy the work of God, but she is still here and still functioning today because it's of God and you cannot overthrow it. Just can't do it. All the years, thousands of years that, or perhaps I should say hundreds of years, over 1,000 years anyway, that she went through all of this bitter persecution, no matter how many of the children of God were put to death, you could not stop and you could not stamp out the church. The devil just could not put the Lord's church out of existence, no matter how hard he tried. Jesus assured us in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, talking about the great power of God. Listen, God has the grace today to save your soul. If you're here today and you're lost, I want you to know that God has two great things that He can do for you today. He has the grace sufficient to save your soul, and He has the power to keep it through all eternity. He has the power to keep it. Obviously, for those who believe that you can lose your salvation, the only thing that I'm able to conclude is that they must believe that they themselves are the keepers of it. Either that or they're mocking God. Because the Bible teaches me that we are saved by His grace and that we are kept by His power. And if you say that the devil is able to take away one of God's children from him, then you're giving the devil power over God. And that's a mockery to God's power as far as I'm concerned. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And Jesus told us there in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John that no man is able to pluck one of his children out of his Father's hand. Nobody. God can't take away, the world or the devil cannot take away one of God's children. So, fighting against God. And the devil has fought him, hadn't he? I mean, the devil has fought against God. We can go back into the book of Genesis in the opening of the scriptures, and we can find that he has been fighting God from the very onset of things, from the very, few hours of creation. We read about the fact that the devil has come and he has been fighting against God, and he does that through people. He fights God. He fights the cause of God. He fights the people of God, and he fights God in that way. But The devil lost. He lost. When he went up against God, he lost. And we can look and we can say, well, but he's still doing things in the world today. He's still wreaking havoc in the world today. And yes, that's true that he is. He is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. But I'm telling you, friends, that he has already lost. That very moment there, you go back thousands of years into what you read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God told him, because of what you've done, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I'm telling you, at that point, the devil had already lost. He'd already lost. And if you look in Revelation chapter 12, you'll find that he knows right now. He knows that he has but a short time. He already knows his fate. He already knows he's lost. He's just going to do as much as he can before God brings to pass what he has said he's going to do to him and cast him there into the lake of fire, there to be there forever and forever. But he has already lost in what he has tried to do. God has the victory. You know why he's lost? Because God made a way. The devil was trying with all of his fury and all of his rage. He was trying to find a way to separate us from God, to separate man from God. That's what his deception there in the garden was all about. When he had that brief moment of victory, God, before the foundation of the world, had already made a way for us to be saved, hadn't he? I mean, God was one step ahead of him, or many steps ahead of him, I suppose, and he has been all the way. I've often wondered what the devil thought when the crucifixion took place. Well, I did it. He's gone. He's dead. After these thousands of years of battling, he's dead. But, you know, just a very short time later, Jesus was up walking around again. The devil can't beat him. He cannot beat him. He cannot overthrow the things of God. Why do we feel sometimes so defeated? Well, because we don't look to the right source of strength. I'll tell you what, if you rely upon God, if you trust in him, if you place your faith and your trust in God, there's not anything, there's not a problem that you'll ever have in this life that God cannot overcome. Not anything. But men have been silly enough, me included, men have been silly enough throughout the years to try to fight him. Sometimes to even tell him, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. But we're told here that if it's of God, that you cannot overthrow it. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, we'll see there perhaps to further give an explanation and to tell us why that we can't overthrow God. You know, he's too powerful. Anybody, when I ever competed in sports, in competitions, you know what? Sometimes I lost. I just couldn't seem to overcome the opponent. You know, he was just too powerful, too smart. In some way, he exercised something over me that I just couldn't seem to overcome. Well, you know what? God has that over everybody. over the entire creation. God is all powerful. He has all power in heaven and in earth. And you're never going to win against God in resisting Him and fighting Him. And you're never going to be victorious, because in 1 Corinthians 1 and 25, it says that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. And to be honest with you, I believe what we're being told there, I don't really think God has any weakness. I think what the Apostle Paul was telling us there, that, you know, even if God had weakness, His weakness would still be stronger than the strongest of men. If God, if God was foolish in any way, and we know that He's not, but if there was a way in which God was foolish, even in His foolishness, He would be far wiser than the wisest of all men. God has all power in heaven and in earth. Now, I want to say this to you that are lost. You can resist Him. I don't believe in irresistible grace. You can resist God. If God's dealing with you and working with your heart and drawing you to Him and letting you know that you're lost and you need to be saved, you can resist it. If you look at Acts chapter 7, verse 25, Stephen spoke this to a group of non-believers. He said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." And so when God is dealing with the hearts of lost humanity and drawing them to Him, and the devil comes along and he begins to speak lies to you, and he begins to tell you things like, don't you give in to that. If you give in to the Lord, you're going to have to give this up and give that up, and you're going to have to change your life and all of these things. Listen, if you resist God to the point that you never find Him, and you're able to hold on to all those things of the world, let me ask you a question. Did you win? Did you win? Well, I think if we look at these verses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, we'll have the answer to that. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Now, those that are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, that resist the Holy Spirit of God, did they win anything by it? Absolutely not. You know, if you resist Him until you get through this life and party and live your life and do the things that you wanted to do, you didn't win anything. All you did was laid up to yourself eternal wrath, eternal condemnation, because the Lord is going to have His day. He's going to have His day. He's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all those that don't know Him and that have not obeyed the gospel, and they'll be separated from His love and from His mercy for all of eternity. There is no victory in fighting against the Lord. I told you in the beginning that I fought the call to preach. I did. I fought against God. But today I stood before you and preached. I didn't prevail. I didn't win. The things that God would have us to do, we need to do it. And I'll tell you this, for all of us today as God's children, when we disobey God, God doesn't just overlook it and take it lightly. He doesn't. Brother Wheat quoted it this morning. I'm going to quote it again. It's a verse of scripture that everybody, every saved person, every lost person, you ought to remind yourself of this verse of scripture every day that you live. It's found in Paul's writing to the Galatians. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man doeth, that shall he also reap. We're going to pay for fighting God. We will. Many people can testify to the fact that they have, and we're going to pay for our disobedience. I'm afraid sometimes even as Christians, we take things when it comes to dealing with God, that we take things so lightly, so lightly. Well, I know God asked that of me, but whether I do it or not, that can't be that big of a deal. I'll just go home and watch football and forget all about it. I'll just forget all about it. We take things so lightly, don't we? Well, I'll tell you what, you can deal with some people that way, but you better not do that with God. God is not mocked. You don't put anything over on Him. You don't pull the wool over God's eyes. There was a time or two when I was growing up, not very many times. Most of the time, honestly, I'll confess I got caught. But there was a few times that I pulled the wool over somebody's eyes. I pulled the wool over my parents' eyes or something. But you know what? God sees it all. He sees it all. He knows everything about us, everything that we do, everything that we think. Every thought, every word, God knows it all. He's not mocked. We don't put anything over on God. Whatever we sow, we reap. I'm afraid sometimes that people try to... Remember the old game show, Let's Make a Deal? Monty Hall, Let's Make a Deal? I'm afraid sometimes people try that with God. They try a Let's Make a Deal type of salvation. You know, well, I know God has convicted me of my sins. I know I need to be saved. And they go off and they try, you know, in their own minds, in their own intellect, in their own actions, they go off and they try to work things out with God. But listen, lost friend, I want to tell you something today. If God has convicted you of your sins and made it known to you that are lost, all that He wants from you is a repentant heart and a broken and a contrite spirit, and He just wants you to come before Him and cast your cares upon Him and humble yourself before Him and trust Him. He doesn't want you to go work it out. You know what? You'll never get it worked out. A lot of people are trying that, and you know what? They're still messed up today. I have people tell me that, well, I'm trying to work things out with the Lord. You know what? There's only one way to work things out with Lord, just with the Lord. Just fall down before Him and let God work it out. Amen. Just lay it down at the Lord's feet. Humble your heart before Him, and God will give you what you need. You ever tried to work something out yourself and found out many months or maybe even years later, the problem was still there? But God can take it away. Jonah fought God, didn't he? Did he win? No. We know the story of Jonah. When he took off, when God told him to go there to that Gentile city of Nineveh and preach to those people, and Jonah took off and ran from that, God didn't say, well, Jonah ran, I'll have to get somebody else. He went right after him. He went after him. Ended up in the belly of a fish. You know what? If you're going to, for all of us, if you're going to trifle with God, if you're going to mess around with God, you better know this. There's still a lot of whales in the ocean. They're still there. I've never been successful. I've never gained anything by fighting against the Lord. I couldn't turn him. When I fought the call to preach, I couldn't turn him. I couldn't sway him. I couldn't talk him out of it. I couldn't change God at all. It came to the point, I don't know how far it gets with everybody, but it came to the point with me where it was, I mean, the Lord made it very plain to me, you're going to do what I'm asking or you're going to pay the price for not doing it. He made that so plain to me. And I believe God's word today that God is not mocked. Don't deceive yourself in it. He is not mocked. What we sow, we shall absolutely reap. There's very, you know, it seems to me like in our world today that there's just less and less fear of God all the time. People will do things that people didn't even think of doing not too many years ago and act like it just means nothing to do it. Losing the fear of God. But God's going to have his day. God's going to bring every work before him one day. We're going to stand before him and undergo his righteous judgment. And we need to live our lives here in the fear of the Lord. We really do. If you're lost, you need to be saved. Because you're under the hand of a God that holds your very eternal soul in his hand. And one day, for all of those, you know, people say, I've heard people say, and I believe this is, I mean, I believe I understand what they're saying, but I believe it's a wrong thing to say to people. I've heard people say, well, God don't send anybody to hell. You send yourself. No, he does. God does. I read in the Bible where, you know, it tells us of that day when Jesus is going to say, depart. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. If that's not ascending, I don't know what it is. Our soul is in the hands of God. Yes, it's your fault. If you don't find salvation, yes, it's your fault. But one day, all of those that fail to repent and trust in the Lord, he will send them into everlasting torment. Lost friend, you don't want to face this powerful God, this God that nobody can overthrow. You don't want to face him lost and in your sins. Let's stand and have a song. Have a verse or two of song.